Good Thursday morning to you. Thank you for joining us today on Tetelestai. Are you prepared for the final battle? And we've been looking at the warnings, words of Jesus and the apostles, describing the days that would be leading up to the final conflict between light and darkness, good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the powers of darkness led by the adversary, the Satan. As we see in Revelation 20, John describes a time, a season. He doesn't say how long that season will be, that Satan is loosed from being able and being bound from being able to deceive the nations and hold them in darkness. That was done at the cross. The gospel could go forth. But John describes a time when he is loosed and makes war against the people of God. And this would culminate in the return of the Messiah. We began to look yesterday at exhibits, evidences, producing evidence that seems to indicate that something radical has shifted in the spiritual realm, particularly near the end of the 19th, going into the 20th century, and has only gotten exponentially worse in all of these areas as the 20th century moved into the 21st century until today. Our first evidence that we looked at, obviously, was one that we all could identify with as followers of Jesus. And even if you're not, you've got to be blind as a bat to see that the moral condition of our world has deteriorated drastically. And it did as we moved through the 20th century, especially when we got into the 60s and 70s, these revolutions, sexual revolution, the drugs and all of that stuff began to take over and things began to spin out of control in many places around the world. The second piece of evidence that I would submit to you that indicates something has changed is the spiritual condition and status of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, in many places in the world right now, especially and predominantly in places where the church is being persecuted, there is a purity and a power that exists there. And the church, even though she is experiencing persecution and assault against the gospel in these nations, she's still flourishing. She is growing. Converts, people are coming in, especially right now in the Middle East. God is doing some unique things in places that we would be shocked, and he's doing them in some very unique and supernatural ways. But when we look at the church in the West predominantly as well, it's a mess. I mean, it is dead spiritually in most cases, worldly, and when I say worldly, I mean that in the sense of the attitudes, dispositions, the actions even of many who claim to be believers are not any different from anyone around them who doesn't claim to be a follower of Jesus as the Messiah. Their lifestyles look very, very much the same in word and in deed. But there's also something that is an indicator as well. There's a number of, you know, scandalous things that are being exposed in the church today among leaders, among people within the body of Christ, all kinds of scandals, from financial scandals to sexual scandals to, you know, child abuse to abuse spiritually. I mean, it's a mess. And again, the church has never been perfect at all, but she did have a uniquely different atmosphere, a uniquely different composition. And even when she fell into times of darkness and lethargy, ridiculous philosophies, those kinds of things. It was like an ebb and flow. God would send spiritual awakening and revival and raise her up because people would begin to cry out to God and beseech him for these kinds of things. And he would do this. And You can look at history and you can see the cyclical movements of the Spirit of God globally in spiritual awakening and revival. But here's the thing. The last genuinely global spiritual move of God that went global and literally touched many places around the world, and we can find many cases of this even prior to it, that true spiritual awakening and revival impacted the whole of the earth in so many places and ways. The last true move like this was in 1904. That was what we call the Welsh Revival, and that revival spread from Wales and England and throughout Europe, went into Asia. It spread to the South Pacific. It spread and impacted places in North America. It was global in its impact. It wasn't perfect. It was flawed, obviously, but tens of thousands of people came into the kingdom of God. And God would periodically do this throughout church history. You'd see these cycles, ebb, flow, and then bam, God would come in and do something supernatural, and the church would be lifted up, and for a period of, you know, a generation or two, things would be solid and strong. And then, of course, the downward trend would start. And then after a period of how, you know, it used to be you could expect a spiritual revival between every 40 to 60 years in the West. And you can see this again historically. You can chart it. Well, we haven't had anything like that since 1903, 1904. It hasn't happened. That is an indicator. That tells us something has shifted and changed. Again, it doesn't mean that there haven't been pockets around the world or even countries where the scale of the movement of the Spirit of God has been large. No, I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm talking about something globally that has impacted the church in a global way. I'm not talking about church growth movements. I'm not talking about, new forms of worship or, you know, new church styles and new music and those kind of things to make the church grow like you see in the church growth movements that we saw back in the, you know, late 80s and 90s and so forth. I'm not talking about that at all. Yes, the church grows in spiritual awakening and revival. No doubt about it. It does. But it's not through men's methods or techniques or business, business plans and, you know, becoming a one-size-fits-all kind of place. No, it has been in the past Spirit of God convicting men and women of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, the gospel being preached and proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and people being convicted and awakened to their spiritual condition as being lost and without Christ, and turning from their sin and believing on Him and being saved, and coming into the body of Christ and beginning to walk with God, becoming strong and powerful followers of the Messiah. The evidence of the condition of the church, particularly in the West, in its current state. We didn't get there again. We did not arrive at this place overnight. It has been something like the frog in the kettle. The water and the temperature has been being turned up over the last 100 years or so. Theologically, the theological liberalism that's crept in, the immorality, the compromise, the lukewarmness. I mean, all of these things are characteristic of a church in decline, and there's been no intervention. And even greater than that, you don't see a lot of people crying out for spiritual awakening and revival either. And the sad thing is, I'm afraid the reason why we don't is because it may cost us something in order to see that happen. We may have to give up some things that we really like, that our flesh really likes. We may have to repent of some things that God says we need to change and repent of. So, exhibit B, the spiritual condition of the body of Jesus Christ. Exhibit A is the moral condition in the world. And I submit to you that A is the direct end result of exhibit B. When there's poor spirituality in the body of Christ in the world, she's not being salt and she's not being light, it's going to be manifested in the wickedness that begins to prevail in the culture and society around her. All right, well, we'll move on tomorrow to look at something else that is screaming at us as far as an evidence that something has shifted spiritually. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His grace and peace extend to you in fullest measure. May your day be filled with the love and presence of God.